Amen. We're excited to have everybody who's here this morning. I know you're getting to see a lot of faces you've not seen in a while, whether that's in person or on the videos. We showed a video on the screen earlier in our pre-worship videos. It's going on the screens out in the hallways. We've got a TV screen out there, one out here, and one back by the fellowship hall. Marilyn McClendon did that back in 2000, and so that'll be scrolling all throughout the afternoon or the morning here that you can take a look at that. We've got another special video that we want to share with you a little bit later, but we're glad to have you here. This is the beginning of our celebration for our 75th anniversary. So first of all, I want to welcome those who are on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. Thank you for being there with us faithfully Sunday. If you know somebody who needs that phone number, it's a free call. You just call into it. It asks if you want to get that call every time we go live, and you can click that little button and then it will call you every time that we go live on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So if you're at home and you have access to our church website, I want to encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you'll find the worship bulletin. You should have found these as you're coming in to the worship service this morning. There are some in the windowsills to my right and left. We've also got our children's worship bulletins in the windowsill to my right, ages 3 and up and ages 7 and up. Those are under that info tab. You can download, share those links, use those in whatever way you can as an outreach. And then our prayer list is under that also. So I want to encourage you to download that and be praying for the many people that are on our prayer list. If you want a paper copy of this, it's in the magazine racks right outside the offices there underneath the TV screen there. So be sure to grab one of the paper copies of that. I want to welcome our guests who are here with us this morning. I want to encourage you to pick up one of the guest bags that are on the sides of the stage, even at the back as well as this way. They're outside, out both ways as you leave. It's got some information about our church that we want to share with you, as well as we just have some things to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So looking forward to a wonderful service this morning. Looking forward to hearing from Brother Don as he comes to bring God's word to us. But first, we're going to sing some songs. So, Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Good morning, all. When we were looking for songs, went back and got the 1940s Broadman hymnal and chose some songs. And one thing about good old hymns, they've been in every version of hymnal that we've used all the way up to present. So, if you want to use the hymnals in front of you, you can, but join us by standing and singing, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
You'll notice
Jessica Dahl. They are serving as North American Mission Board missionaries in Seattle, Washington. Their story is in your bulletin, so I want to encourage you to read about their story as they've started Resonate Church there in Seattle to reach those who are lost. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer for them as well as all of our missionaries around the world. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the past 75 years, from where you brought this church from to where we are today and what you still have planned for us out in the future. And so, Father, we want to bring glory and honor to you in everything we say and do. This is not about any one person, although you have used many individuals and many groups of people, and we want to celebrate that this morning. So, Father, I pray that we would honor the past as well as we will embrace the future throughout these special anniversary services. We want to uplift this morning Jacob and Jessica Dahl, who are serving in Seattle, Washington. Lord, you know the needs that they have there in the church at Resonate Church there. Lord, we pray that you would continue, Lord, to pour out your blessings upon them and other church plants like that through the resources that are given through the North American Mission Board, through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And we just pray, God, that your word and your gospel will continue to go forth. Thank you, Lord, for this church and what has happened through this church and church plants throughout the years that we'll be talking about a little bit later. Father, I just thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing. Bless this service this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Just want to remind you, if you're at home, you can do your online giving under the church website there at HighlandBaptistChurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do that from here in person also. You've also got offering envelopes that are in the pews in front of you, and then you can place those in the offering plates down here at the front. But you can do that online if you're there at home. Want to remind you, this is just the first of three services that we're going to be doing to celebrate the 75th anniversary of Highland Baptist Church. We have some cards that are around there at the doors. There may be some down here at the front, I believe, as well as out here. I want to encourage you to pick one of these up. It's a save the date. It's got some information on the back about those. This afternoon, we're doing a fish fry at 4 o'clock, so we encourage you to come back for that. A lot of fellowship. We'll be sharing those videos again on the screens that you can take some time to look at and to watch. So that fish fry at 4 o'clock this afternoon. From what I understand, you don't have to bring anything, right, Rick? It's already prepared for you, so it'll be prepared for you. So just come, bring your hungry stomach to eat. You're going to receive a wonderful blessing for that. Just want to mention the flower, the little jars that are over here beside the Bible. They're placed this morning in honor of two of our church plants that were started off of this church, Grace Baptist, as well as Boynton Valley Baptist. And we just give God the glory and the honor for what he's done in and through that. I mentioned the TV videos earlier. Don't forget that. I've seen some old cars, some 50s cars that are out in the parking lot. Take a look at those. Some are dressed in period clothing. I saw one of our choir members has got her poodle skirt on this morning. I'm in black and white in honor of the 50s. So. But it's good to see everybody who's here. And so just wanted to share with you a video that we put together to honor our 75th. It's a more recent one. We'll be doing these and asking you to share with these as we get ready to put those out through the next services. So prayerfully watch this video. Thank you. So from 1950 to 2025, God has been doing an awesome work in and through this church, and you are a part of that. So thank you for your faithfulness to serve the Lord. God has moved people from here to other places, and you're serving where you may be. Thank you for being here with us this morning. We especially this morning want to encourage you, if you did not already, to sign one of the register books. There's one that's out here in the foyer. There's one that's out here at this door. Be sure to sign those. We want to get a good record of those who have been here for this service. There's someone who's going to be taking some snapshots throughout the service this morning and throughout the time we're here. There is also a display that's out here in the hallway for you to get a picture with, if you want to take a picture, that has our 75th anniversary symbol there, and want to encourage you to get that done also. So thank you so much for being here and for all that God is doing. Those two videos, the one that's on the TV screens, as well as that one you just saw, those will be on our social media platforms this afternoon, and you can be able to go back and see those individually and be able to dial in there. Maybe some pictures there that you didn't see as clearly that you could be able to see a little better on the internet there.
Well, we look at those pictures, we realize we're standing on the shoulders of giants. And we're standing on his promises even today still. So join us as we sing Standing on the Promises, hymn 335. Go ahead and stand. Can't sit on this song.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my
back in the 1950s, there was a well-known radio host, comedian, songwriter in Hollywood who was named Stuart Hamblin. He was noted for his drinking, for his womanizing, for his partying, and all kinds of things. One of the bigger hits at the time was, "I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women." One day along came a young preacher who was holding a tent revival. Hamblin heard him on his radio show as part of the publicity of the crusade. The young preacher extended an invitation to Hamblin to attend the crusade, and he accepted. Well, early in the service, the preacher announced this and said, "There is one man in this audience who's a big fake." There were probably others who thought the same thing, but Hamblin was convinced that he was the one that the preacher was talking about. But he was having none of that. Still, those words continued to haunt him until a couple of nights later, he showed up at the preacher's hotel door at 2 a.m. in the morning. He demanded that the preacher pray for him, and he invited Stuart in, and they talked till about 5 a.m., at which point Stuart dropped to his knees, and with tears, he cried out to God for salvation. But that's not the end of the story. Stuart quit his drinking, he quit chasing, he quit everything that was fun, and he began to lose favor with the Hollywood crowd. After his conversion, Hamblin announced that he was going to devote his time to serving Christ. And he started a new radio program called the Cowboys Church of the Air, which became a nationally syndicated show. A confrontation developed with his sponsors, however, because he told them that he would refuse to advertise alcohol, and he was ultimately fired from the radio station. Later on a street in Hollywood, Hamblin ran into an old friend by the name of John, who asked him about the rumor around town that he had changed his ways. John took him aside, told him all his troubles. "Your troubles started when you got religion," and asked if that was worth it all. Well, Stuart, he answered, and he replied simply, "Yes." Then his friend said, "Well, you like booze so much, don't you ever miss it?" And the answer was no. John then said, "I don't understand how you could give it up so easily." Well, Hamblin told John that it was no secret what God had done for him and that he could do it for John too. To this, John said, "Well, that's a catchy phrase. You should write a song about that." Well, Stuart went on to write another song. You may have remembered this song, "This Old House," which is one of his best remembered songs. As they say, the rest is history. The song that Stuart wrote was "It Is No Secret." The original manuscript of "It Is No Secret" is buried in the cornerstone of one of the copyright buildings of the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. By the way, that friend who encouraged him was John Wayne, and the young preacher who led Stuart to the Lord was Billy Graham. I want to sing for you this morning, "It Is No Secret," from the 1950s.
Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for promise, don't run. what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Children's church, we still have in children's church, right? Okay, children's church will be gathering over here on the piano side. And if you would, stand again. Join us as we sing Lily of the Valley, 189. Words will be on the screen. Lily of the Valley.
Many of you know, some of you may not know, Brother Don Dixon. He's a former pastor here. He was here from 1984 to 2006. How many years is that? 21 and a half years. So that's my goal. If I can stay as long as Don did, then I'm doing good. My last church, I stayed as long as the previous pastor had, and that was, I stayed 16 and a half. He was 14. So hopefully I can live up to your standards of what you've lived here. And God has used him in a wonderful way in this church's history, in this church's life, still being used by God in our community. He's the head of our chaplain program with our police department and the hospital system, as well as many other places that we serve. Brother Don is glad to have you here with us this morning. So come, brother, and give us God's word.
It's just slow these days.
You're good.
Take your time.
Well, Brother Jim, I'll give you an idea how long to stay. We had a World Missions Conference here.
About 10 or 15 years after I was pastor, and a missionary came out and said, I understand you've been here 15 years.
And I said, yes. He said, well, it takes a good man to do that. And so I just swelled up with pride. And then he said, but it takes a better church. The way the Lord has to take us when we get prideful and bring us down. I am overwhelmed with emotion as I have seen many of you for the first time in several years. Vicki and I count it a privilege to be part of this church's heritage. The long portion of our lives have been spent in the fellowship of a leading pastor and people, and I appreciate the opportunity and the fact that many of you made efforts to come. I want to share with you from God's Word, Psalm 107, beginning with verse 4, is found in your pew Bible on page 487. Some wanders in desert waste, finding no way to inhabit the town, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The very week I was asked to be part of this celebration today, that weekend my son was visiting us. And so there at the dinner table, I thought, well, maybe I ought to find out how he sees Highland, since he shared it the first several years of his life with us. So I asked him, what comes to your mind when you think of Highland Baptist? After a pause, he said, this is a transit community. The church welcomed such people, but the church itself was built by persons who were settled here. As I thought about that comment, I became aware of the fact that I could understand why he would feel that way. He was 11 years of age when he came with us from Louisiana. He had to leave meaningful relationships. He had a place where he felt like he was at home. He came here and he did not feel that. In short, what I would simply say, in Louisiana, he felt like he belonged. In Tennessee, he did not. I want to use that as an opportunity to talk a little bit about our church history. Our church history reflects that answer my son gave. For 1950, 84 charter members came out of a sister Baptist church here in town, and in 285 of them were together by 1957. Highland was founded on the year in which ADEC came here. And you will find the fact that much of the growth of Highland in that period was probably due to transit people who came in here to work at the base and other industries that were developing around here. And as a result, one of the questions that they would have if they were spiritually inclined, where can I find a community of people where I felt I belonged? Now, you and I should not be surprised that this is something that I would suggest to you, because it is found in the biblical passage. The passage that was read to you talked about wandering in the wilderness, not a place to settle down. And it ends up when they prayed, they found a town that was inhabited. That's according to Psalm 107 that we read earlier. It seems to me that that is not only an image that's found in the scripture, that one place, but it's found in other places. In Deuteronomy, Moses gave instructions to the people of Israel, when you go into the promised land, go there in a way that you would remember your past. And when you go to bring an offering to the Lord, this is the confession that you should make. A wandering Armenian was my ancestors. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt. That's the compilation of a confession of faith. And it has the image of transient people being directed by God to a place in which they felt like they belonged. I hope you see the pattern. For the truth is, in this life in which we live, we are transient people from time to time. And the reasons may be various. Sometimes it may just be economics. We may not move from a place, but we find we must, or we might, whatever the reason may be, it may not always involve in movement from one place to another, but it always involves a sense of not belonging anymore and going forward to find a place when we pray that God would lead us to that place of belonging. And so, what about Highland Baptist Church? I think we need to keep in mind that pattern that God has given us in Scripture. For over the many decisions that were made by First Baptist Church in the years of 45 to 50, there was a group of young people that became aware that they no longer kind of fit in. They were doing a lot of the work, but decisions were being made by others. And so they had a dissatisfaction. And so no matter how the story is told of Highland's formation, one of the things that you see is the fact that they became aware that they no longer belonged. And so they prayed, and they were led by the Spirit of God to form Highland Baptist Church. When I came here as pastor in 84, many people who lived through that were my age then, but back when they were doing that in 1950, they were the young adults, and they formed Highland Baptist Church. My point is this: we don't need to blame one church or another, but we need to see the pattern that God has. He's always in the business. When we feel we are no longer belongs to a community, He provides us when we look to Him as a place to go, a place of belonging. And so I want us to consider God's action in His active love in our lives to describe the formation of Highland Baptist Church in 1950. So what about Highland Baptist Church? What about the history? What comes to your mind and my mind? It would be great if we had enough time for each of you to share what Highland means. And you and I would see things probably in some areas different, interpret things different. That's fine. That's how we find God's way. One of the things that I ran across in preparation was a history of Highland Baptist Church. It was written... It's written about the time that I became pastor. At that time, it divided the church into three basic areas to look at. The first area was 1950 to 1957. This is where the church had its greatest growth numerically. It went from 84 people to 270 members. And it was a generation that built the church, a generation that built what we would, you call, well, what we used to call the chapel, but it was the old sanctuary. And you would also find that they did that much of the work, not only on that, but the educational building. See, they were a generation that did things. They didn't hire things to be done. Great generation. And so Highland became, as the influx of people for ADC came here, became a place of belonging for them, those who looked and found. And God worked in doing that. The second period of development that was mentioned in that history is from 1958 to 1970. The church grew in growth and membership during those years. And after a fire destroyed the building of Spring Creek Church, Highland adopted it as a mission. It was also before them that they had started a mission that became Grace Baptist Church. And so as they worked for 2 years, the pastor here at Highland, Roy McGill, served as pastor at Spring Creek. All of that reminds us that there was an emphasis here of a sense of belonging and able to share out of that. It was during this period, the second period, the tragic death of Roy McGill, the first pastor, in December 1964. In the midst of that grief, Highland became a place for people to belong and to find comfort and to find hope. And the mature leadership of Art Burcham, the second pastor, provided a hope and provided a good transition during that period. I remember talking with Art and some other people who came into the church under his ministry about a revival that was meaningful to this church. And they also had a new membership class which helped to make people feel like they belonged. And all that was ways in which this church was a community of belonging. In July of 1969, this church began construction of a new sanctuary. The first sanctuary became known as the chapel. And under the leadership of Don Corson in January of 1970, the church started a ministry of daycare and kindergarten, which is called today the CDC, a Child Development Center. The third period of time in which we look at Highland Baptist, we see it from 1970 to 1984. Years of early growth were turbulent years in that period. We lost several strong families for various reasons, and because they were faithful families, the church had some difficulties. Also, the expected growth and outreach by the Child Development Center and the new sanctuary that we're sitting in now did not materialize. And as a result, we had to have strong leadership. Jasper E. Jones came and provided that with 10 years of service. It was during that time that a young couple by the name of Dan and Debbie Capel came to the church in 1977. They started working with young people, and because of an inherited disease, Dan, the husband, died in 2 years. But Deborah, when she worked through that, she stayed here. And she did not leave until she went to seminary in 1981, where the church licensed her to do mission work during the summer. And then when she completed her work in 1985, she would call to a staff member at a church in Richmond. And as she went, this church, on the occasion of her, set aside her for the gifts of ministry, a service of affirmation. But that's not the end of the story. While she was in Richmond, she met a man by the name of Flint Miller. She went, got involved with him and married him. He had worked for the Foreign Mission Board. And for several years after their marriage, they were missionaries, I think, in the Philippines. And after they left the Foreign Mission Board, they went to be a pastor and a wife in Illinois. Why do I mention that? For the simple reason, it's a good indication that Deborah, in the midst of her grief, felt like she could stay here because this was a community of belonging. That brings us to the longest pastorate that this church has had, 1984 to 2006. It's hard to believe that more time has almost existed since my retirement than since the last time I was here. God uses first impressions to bring people and pastors together in the Baptist process of calling a pastor. I can remember being in Louisiana and some of the first impressions that I had, and I don't know whether Vicki shared them or not, but first impression was that I was surprised that a church this size would travel 9 hours one way to hear a prospective pastor. Another first impression was the fact that a willingness for a woman who had a daughter who was married in the old sanctuary. She said, "We're getting ready to change that so it can be used as a room for child development center." And I was impressed that there was an element, at least in the leadership of the church in that committee, that wanted to put not memories first, but wanted to reach out to the community. And then I found out later that one of the members who was an alternate member, looking over the resume, said, "We ought to look at this man, for he spent 6 years, 3 years, I'm sorry, in Europe, and we ought to consider him. He may have a wider vision than perhaps some of the others." And because of that, those were impressions that I felt and we felt was leading us here. Other things that I felt and I sensed the church was that in that spiritual journey that I've had at seminary and had in Europe and other churches where I had pastored, I felt like there was an openness to a wider understanding of Baptist identity than that which we typically have in a church, Baptist church. And then the one other impression that comes to me, and I remember this, is the fact that the process of a call. I've never been in a church where you preach one Sunday and you voted on the call on next Sunday night. That was a little disturbing. And when I got the call after a week being up here, following the week being up here, it was by Robert Waller, who was chairman of the committee. And Robert called to say, "Well, we took a vote and you received 76%. Of those voting." Now, that was not a time that I expected that low. I was expecting somewhere around 85 to 95% vote. I told Robert I'd have to think about it and would call him back on Wednesday. I talked to two people during that time, J.C. Carpenter, director of missions, he's deceased, and J. Held Stevens, who was an interim pastor, he's also deceased. And they helped me to see that when a pastor leaves, there are people who rejoice. And when some of them also are sad, but the vast majority of them aren't that close, are involved. And reminding me that that's true of every pastor. And so I became convinced that we ought to come here because the vote that was not for me was just sad of the Brother Jones leaving. All right, that brings us to what do we make about the time that I've been here? I think there are some opportunities I've had recently to go through the bulletins for the first 2 or 3 years that I was here. Frankly, I got tired going through it because I thought of all the things we did. But let me just mention a few things. One is the fact that Christmas Eve communion service started the second year we was here. First year, On the 23rd of December, we had a communion service. But one of the things we have started since I came here was the drop-in Christmas Eve community service, a communion service. I understand that the deacons continue that to provide that over the years. The first December I was here, we began to have Advent wreath, which is an emphasis that ties in to the Christmas, to the Christian calendar. I also found that the way we did communion is I try to once every 2 months have communion, whether it was Sunday morning or Sunday night. And I also attempted to have various structures of time and in the worship service, so that if we use the Lord's Prayer in unison, we did it for about 6 to 8 weeks, then we would stop and change something else. I would like to say that all these changes and so on worked well, but there are two things that come to my mind. One is the fact on an Easter Sunday morning, somehow we were going to have the Lord's Supper in the presentation, and we did not have enough communion cups available, and that really was a sad thing, and I was disappointed. The other thing is not everything works out. When you put in a new version of the Lord's Prayer and you don't say anything beforehand, your people's going to respond just like they normally do. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so I am aware of the fact that not everything that I attempted to do or we did as a people were always received by everybody with enthusiasm and so on. But that's part of the heritage, a willingness to explore. We did that with sharing the baptistry of First Baptist Church that first year. And later on, we had Brother Gary Hill from Mount Zion Baptist Church in Fayetteville to come and his people worship with us. All of this makes us aware that there's a larger dimension out there than we normally have in our own minds, and it would be well for us to explore and to know how God's people, who differ from us in congregations, but can worship. Not only was that the emphasis, we have also a history of mission emphasis. I've already been mentioned the fact that we have started 3 churches in the 75-year history with connections to Grace Baptist, Spring Hill, and Boynton Valley. We also found ourselves at the very first week of existence already a member of the Tennessee Baptist Convention and the local Baptist Association. After all, our pastor was a secretary for the local Baptist Association. And then as I think about missions involvement, I think about church people have participated. 2 trips to Michigan that I can remember, and 1 to North Carolina. And members of the church has participated in missions project to Upper Volta, England, Venezuela, Ukraine, Maine. In fact, I'm thinking, I see Ben up there, but I think a group of young people went up to Maine, and I think Ben, and maybe it was John Knight, that became supervisors to finish up the inside of that building where Marilyn McClendon had gone to service summer missions. That leads me to the other thing that we have. We have an emphasis upon the fact that there was a ministry to college students. We are very, very much involved with the foundation and work of what is the BSU at the time out at Motlow. We also have people who have been part of the collegiate ministry for many years, members of this church. And I'm proud of the fact that we had a good collegiate ministry provided locally through Motlow, but also through the work that is done around the world. And even today, there are people who have roots in this church who ends up involved in ministry. And I think of Christy Ridings at Belmont. but there are others. I'm pleased to see this morning others who are involved in ministry, other areas of work, because when you belong to a community, you're free to use your gifts in any way the Lord may lead you. That brings us to the present. What about 2006 to the present? I cannot say much about that because I've not been here. I rejoice in looking out and seeing a vast number of people I don't know. It may be deal, it may be because of my memory, or it may be the fact that most likely the Lord has used this church as a place of belonging for you, and you have come in those times of 2006 to the present. God has used two pastors. Hopefully, Brother Jim will make it the longest pastorate, has used about three interim ministers. And I'm pleased when I hear and see good things about this church and how it is faithful, because I know that means people have a sense of belonging. They feel good about it. The last sermon I preached as pastor, this church, was on a Sunday morning, although we had communion on Sunday night that followed. Back in 2006, the title of the sermon was Traveling Mercies. It was based on a book by that name by Annie Lamont. It's a testimony of how she got involved with the church and with the Christian faith. She had strung out on drugs many times. On Sunday morning, if she woke up, she'd go down to the flea market. She lived on the coast of California. And she would go down there to flea market. And across from the flea market was St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, a building in need of a lot of attention. And just a few people she saw would be in there. But one Sunday, as she was at the flea market, she heard the singing, and she moved over and was surprised to find, as she looked in the door, it was just five people in the choir that were singing. So every time she went to the flea market for the next couple of Sundays, she'd stop and listen, but never go inside. Eventually, she began to go inside, and as she went inside, she began to pay more attention, but would never stay for the sermon. One hard weekend when she got up and she was able to, so strung out, she couldn't stay standing when they sung hymns. She had gone inside the church and she heard the sermon for the first time. She thought it was crazy. But the hymn that closes the service made her aware of something deeper. She said she ran home and she walked into her trailer and she said, "All right, Lord, I quit. Come in." And that's her conversion. And one of the interesting things about her is that she picked up some church language over the years. And one of the things she found out what traveling mercies meant as her pastor was leaving for a study leave. Traveling mercies, she found out, whenever anybody went off, simply meant love the journey, God is with you, come home safe and sound. That was my prayer back then for Highland. Whatever journeys we may be on, you will know God's mercy. And that's my prayer for these days here and that years ahead, traveling mercies for you. And I would remind you, all of us are transits in this life, and our traveling is not done until we reach home through God's in eternity. But may His mercy be with each of us. Amen. Grant us, O Lord, this day not only a sense of belonging to the community of faith, but to be able to respond to it by faithfulness. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
May God have spoken to your heart this morning. Thank you, Brother John, so much for sharing this morning. We want to ask you to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation to Jesus. It's tenderly called. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, maybe come to join the church, maybe come to faith in Christ, maybe just simply to come to pray. If you come this morning, as we stand to sing Jesus' tenderly called.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, Father and Father away? Calling today, calling today.
Okay, we got several people that got announcements. Come on up, if you will.
Good morning. In just a few short weeks, we will be having our VBS kickoff on the 31st of May at 5 p.m. We would love for you to join us. VBS will then be that following week, the 2nd through 7th of June. We would love to have your children join us for that week. We do still have a really big need. Miss Brenda Griffin has graciously offered to teach two classes that week, and she really, really, really needs a helper. So if you feel called, please, please, please help Miss Brenda teach a class. She would greatly appreciate the help for that. We also have another big need. We still have one more hallway to have decorated. So if you would like to help with that, please let Miss Linda or I know so that she can get you whatever decorations or whatever she's already put together, but that would be a great help for her as well. The last thing is, if you have ever worked the week of VBS, you know that it is a long week and it can be tiring, and sometimes hard to get through that week. We are having a prayer room, and one of the things we would like is for church members to write notes and cards of encouragement for our teachers and workers so that they can go into the prayer room that week. They can have prayer time, they can read those notes of encouragement, and just help them continue to get through the week. So if you would like to help with that, please let me know, and Matt or I will get with you on that. Thank you.
Sorry, Jason. All right. Next week is the week that we are celebrating Christopher Norman and his new bride-to-be. So next week is the week you need to bring your gifts here, and there'll be a table set up out here for them. And so if you want to show the love for Christopher and Brother Jim and Miss Samantha, if you could bring that gift next week. You will need one of these cards if you want to get to their registry. I tried it on the bulletin. The little QR code's too small to work on the bulletin. So you will need one of these cards. They're at the front or at the back of the sanctuary. Thank you.
For everybody that came out yesterday to help in the youth room to lay down flooring on behalf of Matt, thank you. Next week, need 10. Jason says we need 10 more people to show up 8 a.m. to whenever. Got about 60% of it done, the flooring down yesterday. There's still a lot more work to be done. 8 a.m. next Saturday. Thank you.
Bobby, you got something?
No, sir.
Okay. Brother Don, it's nice to have you here. Thank you for your message. The history of this church is fantastic, and the lives that have come to know Christ as their Savior is even more fantastic. And we've got a couple of more announcements. Brother Ken has been moved. Now he's in Winchester. The rehab's good to see Diane here. We're glad to have y'all here. And then Brother Doug Ridings is having some heart issues, a test at Vanderbilt tomorrow, I think it is. Keep him in your prayers. And then it's good to see Brother Charles. He just went through some surgery. Glad you're here recovering. Kay Fox, I don't have a lot of information right now, but I know you're having some heart issues and some tests to be done yet, I guess. So, just got a message from Carla just not too long ago. Carla Duncan, George Duncan is being packaged up and brought home as we speak. He did not need a stent, but he did have some issues as far as the CT went. I guess something dislodged, and it kind of created a mini stroke for him. So his speech is not all there yet, but in a couple of weeks they hope it will be. So he's on his way home. Remember Tony Rogers tomorrow. He's had in surgery in his back. So keep those in your prayer, if you will, and we'll go to prayer now if there's announcements. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've come. We thank you for the history of this church and the lives that's been saved here, and all that's been done throughout the country with attachments to this church. And we praise you for all that you've done. And Father, we just thank you for each person that's here. Many that's here this morning, Lord, we hadn't seen in a long time, and it's good to see them. We ask you to forgive us where we fail you. We ask you to lead and guide in our lives each and every day. And Lord, we know we sin, and we ask you to forgive us of those things that are displeasing to you. And we just ask you now to be with us as we leave this place. Keep us safe, be with our families, be with those that are in need. And we thank you for your son, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.